I want you to stand up. We're going to pray. And I want you to pray. I want you to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I'm your child. Purchased by the blood of your Son, my Savior, Jesus, the Christ. I choose as an act of my will to die to self, to submit and surrender to your Lordship in my life, day by day. Holy Spirit, I'm inviting you. Fill me. Lead me. Guide me. Direct me. Continue to conform me to Christ's likeness. And I thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. I'm going to ask you, Father, answer my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. He will honor that prayer, by the way. Anytime you pray anything in accordance with His will, we have His word, He's going to hear it. What we just prayed is in accordance with His will. So, He's going to hear it. I want you to go ahead and open your Bible, if you would please, to Revelation chapter 13. I tried to do this once or twice this week on the radio, and the Lord wouldn't let me do it. And now He's got me here this morning, and I'm going to teach it this morning. And going into it, I grew up in churches, folks, where they kept telling me that Christ could return at any moment, that we had to be ready for His return, that He could return at any moment. I grew up believing that. I was in church. That's what the preacher was teaching. I took him in his word. And so I believe that. God called me to the ministry as a teenager. And then I disobeyed God. I ran from God. I would not enter the ministry. And after I went where I went and did what I did and said what I said and was what I was, I said, I'm not worthy. But what I didn't understand was that seminary really didn't help me that much. Dr. John Burns, yes, he and I became close. He could lay a Greek text in this hand, Hebrew text in this hand, read out of either one of them. We became close. And I would hit him with questions. He would answer my question with a question to make me go to the Word and dig it out myself. And then Bertha Smith, that old Southern Baptist missionary that was there during the Japanese invasion, the things she shared with us about what she came through, what she experienced, what she saw God do. And I'm going to, leading into the message, I'm going to remind you of one or two things. What she told us about was they were running from the Japs, and they got to this place where they couldn't go any further. And the Japanese army overtook them. And they were killing everybody in sight. And Bertha and all the missionaries and the Chinese Christians that were with them went into a school to take refuge. And the Japanese soldiers came in there with machine guns just killing everything in sight. And Bertha and her friend, missionary, was up against the wall. And Bertha reached over and took up the hand and said, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die praising the Lord. Let's sing. So they were standing there holding hands and singing as the Japanese came into the big mess hall and just killing everybody in sight. And they're standing up against the wall singing. And the Japanese never saw them. So Bertha said to her friend, God has hidden us. Let's get out of here. They stepped over dead bodies. They walked down the hallway stepping over dead bodies. They walked out into the schoolyard, and Japanese soldiers were standing out there smoking cigarettes, reloading their weapons, getting ready to go further. And they walked through them singing, holding hands, and God hid them. Amen. They never saw them. That's the God I serve.
Amen.
No, that's the God I serve. That's the God I serve.
Amen.
I really wanted to do this on the radio. The Lord kept checking me, stopping me. And as of Friday, it crystallized in Revelation. Now, what I just told you about what China went through, the world is going to go through something like that. I grew up in churches teaching me that Christ could come at any moment. I had no reason not to believe it. He's the preacher, so I just believe the preacher. But then spending the time that I did in the military, in the nations that I did, and going through what I experienced, and then God was bringing me through level after level after level, putting up with me, tolerating me, burning out of me, but protecting me.
Amen.
In spite of what I was and who I was. And then when I finally surrendered to the ministry, that morning I was going down to renew my license, and the Lord stopped me. He said, go back upstairs and burn your license. I didn't want to burn that license because it's a tough license to get. But I obeyed and I burned it. And then in seminary, I had to unlearn a great deal I had been taught. And what I'm teaching this morning for you will be on the radio this week, God willing. And most of the church, I would say a great majority of the church, has to unlearn a great deal of what they've been taught.
Amen.
Especially with respect to eschatology. End times. So with that in mind, Revelation chapter 13, I've entitled this, It's Yet Future, But It's Coming. Many of us in here will not see what I'm teaching on this morning developed as fully as it will be developed. But some of you have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren that may well see it develop. They may live through the stages because the stages are already in place.
Right.
The steps in the stages are already being fulfilled. And so some of you have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren that will live to see, unless the church. Folks, Satan has had this thing on the brink three or four times in the past. Had everything in place. Had the players in place. But the church went to prayer. Repentance and prayer. And God stopped it. We've got to trust that the church will listen to the message today. Understand the message of today. Respond to the message of today. And give themselves to repentance. I'm talking about church worldwide and intercessory prayer. I'm tired of this. It's yet future, but it's coming. Let's establish what I'm going to deliver right up front. Let me make the main point right here, right now, looking at the Word of God from a prophetic point of view. You've got your Bible in your hand. There are basically two schools of thought with respect to eschatology. End times. There's basically two schools of thought. Many of the older theologians saw the text we're dealing with today as relating primarily to the Catholic Church. Many of the theologians of yesteryear, century ago, 2 centuries ago, 3 centuries ago, saw a great deal of what we're dealing with today as relating to the Catholic Church. And the reason they did that is that they viewed the Catholic Church as the Church of the Antichrist. And so they related most of what I'm teaching this morning to the Catholic Church. They viewed the Catholic Church as the, if you may say it this way, system of religion that the Catholic Church would embrace and would pursue. But they knew that this would have to happen in a one world order. There is going to be a one world order. and you were watching bits and pieces of that one world order being put together today,
yes,
in the nations of the world. You're watching change in this nation. You're watching change in other nations. You're watching a change in identification in other nations. It is occurring in your lifetime right now. As I've said so many times, God has turned all of his work over to the church.
Amen.
It's all in our hands. So what happens, happens as a result of the failure of the church to be the church. So, we know from Scripture that there's going to be a one world religious system. That is going to happen. There's going to be a one world religious system. And that one world religious system is going to exist in the one world order of the Antichrist. It's going to be the predominant, the major system of religion in the government of the Antichrist. Now the question is, does that system exist today? Does that religious system that is going to become the predominant system of religion in the nations of the world, does it exist today? It's not the Baptist. It's not the Presbyterians. It's not Episcopalians. There are those scholars, and I'm not a scholar, I'm just a preacher, but there are those scholars who view the end time one world church as the Catholic Church. Others view it as Islam. But that means there has to be a convergence of systems in order to come up with a one world system through which the Antichrist and with which he can exercise his authority. So, all this is going to come together to form the end time system of the system of religion under the Antichrist. Now, folks, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. It's in the Word of God. There will be, in process of time, there will be a one world order. And in that one world order, there will be one world church, religious system, if we might put it that way. And so what I'm speaking to this morning speaks to that one world order and that one world church. Because that one world church will be a state-approved system of religion. Has to have the stamp of approval of the government. It will be a system of government ruled by one individual. We will have a system, the world will have a system of government ruled by one individual whom we know as the Antichrist. He is the end times individual that we call the Antichrist. He is going to be ruling and reigning, and he's identified biblically as the Antichrist. He is a satanically indwelt, enabled, and empowered individual who becomes a world ruler. Satanically enabled, empowered, indwelt. And he becomes the one world ruler. Now please understand this. It does not happen overnight.
No.
I remember I was maybe 6, 7 years old. Out in my backyard playing. And all of a sudden I heard something I'd never heard before in my life. And it scared me. And I looked up, and what we had was a flight. It was a flight of bombers flying at treetop level, just clearing the tops of trees, training for the Second World War. You see, I lived during the Second World War. I was alive when the Second World War was called, when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. And 4 days later, Germany declared war. And we were fighting two fronts at the same time. Bread was rationed. Food was rationed. Families were issued ration cards and ration coupons. And if you used up your rations for that expression of food, you were out of luck. So what I'm saying to you is, there has been an ongoing process by Satan in trying to establish the one world order, and it's going to get here. It's going to be here. In Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1, by the way, it does not happen overnight. This process of the one world order does not happen overnight. It is a process, compromising process. It's a process of compromise due to ignorance and indifference. You see, the majority of this nation is only really concerned with, am I happy where I'm at?
Hello.
Am I happy? Am I pleased? Have I got what I want to have? Can I get more of what I've already got? That's where we're at. Beginning in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. And upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy. Let me read you something I bumped across in studying this. This is from the teacher's commentary. Quote, a beast, a great world power, hostile to the church, is the nondescript beast in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 7. 25, 30 years ago, when the Lord took me to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 7, I didn't really want to receive what I was reading, but it was there. I couldn't deny it. I'm going to read it to you. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 7, talk about the end times. After this, Daniel said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had ten horns. What you have there is that fourth beast represents the ruler of the end time one world government. There will be a convergence of nations in the process of time, and we will have ten ruling nations. That is going to happen because it's in the Word of God. Now in Revelation chapter 13 verse 2, and the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, his feet as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon. Now, dragon is Satan. The dragon is Satan. Now, I'll show you that in the scripture in a moment. But the dragon, Satan, gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. This is a satanically controlled, satanically engineered system of government. What you have here is a representation of leaders of world powers in the past. Those first three, those represent world leaders of the past. They were different world leaders at different times in different parts of the world, but they were there. Now, through the ages, you must bear this in mind. Through the ages, Satan has sought world dominion. It's been an ongoing battle, seeking world dominion. And through it, a variety of nations, empires, and leaders have come into view. And thus far, they've all failed. Time after time after time, Satan thought he had the governmental agency in place in one of the nations of the world that he could use to capture the rest of the nations and have a one world order. It didn't work out. Time after time, the people of God realized what was going on, gave themselves to repentance and to prayer, and stopped it.
Amen.
But there's going to come a time, and I look at the church today, and I say we're ripe for it. At some point in time, he's going to succeed. At some point in time, he has thus far failed, but he will succeed at some time in the future. But Understand this. Satan can only succeed in implementing his policy and his program and his end time one world order if the church allows him to do so.
That's right.
The church. We're the only thing that stands between him and his realization of that reality. Only the church stands between him. But understand this. Hear me and hear me well. God has turned all of his work over to the church. God has turned all of his work over to the church. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And God has invested in his bride dominion, the authority, the power to hold back the government of Antichrist. There will come a time when the church fails. We're moving towards that time inexorably all the time. I'm watching bits and pieces around the world come together. I'm watching it happen in this nation right here. I'm watching the bits and the pieces. So once you've got to understand this. God has turned all of his work over to the church. Why? Because the church is the bride of Christ, and Christ is not coming back for a whore bride.
No.
Christ is not coming back for a bride that's in bed with the world.
No, sir.
What is he going to have to permit to get the church out of the bed of the world? So once again, the church is the bride of Christ. Now, so much of the true church, notice I'm saying true church. There's a fake church,
yes,
and there's the true church.
Amen.
And so much of the true church is asleep at the switch.
Hello.
So much of the true church does not understand the signs of the times. So much of the true church does not understand Bible prophecy. So much of the true church is really only concerned about fill the pews, fill the seats, get the plate full, let's move on and just you be happy and I'll be happy, we'll all come together, we'll be happy, we'll go home happy, while the world is going to hell in a bucket.
Hello.
Now what do I mean by the church? What is the church? The church is made up of those who've been born again. Much of what we call the church is not the church. Religious systems do not make up the church. The world is full of religious systems. But the church is a blood-bought bride of Christ.
Amen.
It's the people of God purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And much of it's asleep. Much of the church is asleep at the switch today as we're watching change after change after change take place. So much of the church is totally unaware, really truly unaware of the prophetic word of God. They have not been taught the Word of God, the prophetic Word of God. And so as a result of them not having been taught the prophetic Word of God, a lot of the church is asleep on guard duty. They're asleep on guard duty. And the government of the Antichrist is being put together. The climax of the government of the Antichrist is still future. But it's in the process right now of being put together. And it will be much more than any leader of the past. The end times one world order of the Antichrist will be much more than any previous expression of government we've seen in any nation of the world. You have to bear that in mind. He will be more powerful. We're talking about a one world ruler. We're talking about a one world ruler that hates God. He hates God's people. He hates the people of God. He hates the church of God. He hates God. He curses God. But he'll be a one world ruler. And will be much more than any one world ruler in the past. Any rulers. He'll put Hitler to shame.
Uh-huh.
Mussolini. Tokyo. He'll put them to shame.
Yeah.
He'll put those world leaders in the past to shame. Because of his vindictiveness against the people of God. Against God. His hatred of God. And he'll be more powerful, more tyrannical, more wicked than anyone we've ever seen in the past. He will be wickedness personified. This one world rule. Now, folks, we're heading there. I don't expect to see it in my lifetime. I hope I don't see it in my lifetime. I've got a daughter sitting back there that might see it in her lifetime. Some of you have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren that may see this come to pass. This ruler will be evil personified. Evil personified. He'll be Satan personified, if you will. There's going to come a worldwide governmental system. We're watching slowly but surely little bits and pieces being put together right now. And this one world system will be ruled by a coalition of political powers, 10 of them. We know we're going to see a coalition of 10 powers, and it's going to take a period of time for it to come into existence. But the pieces are being put in place right now. Do you understand that every single member of the Supreme Court, of the Congress, of the Senate, of the pulpits, every single individual in any of those institutions is either a child of God or a child of the devil?
Amen.
There's no in between.
No, sir. No.
There is no in between. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil.
Right.
And each one of these positions I'm talking about are filled at this time. But you see, there has to be, in order for this to come to pass, there has to be compromise. It's a nasty word. There has to be compromise. There has to be international agreements. And you're watching bits and pieces. Even right now, you're watching the forerunner to some of this occurring right now in your lifetime. And it's going to be governed by a body yet to be formed. But it will be formed. Take a process of time, and the only thing that can restrain it and restrict it is the church. We are the only ones that can restrain it and restrict it. But it will eventually occur. Why? A church asleep. A church asleep, negligent, uninformed, and so much of the church is negligent. So much of the church is uninformed. And that gives ground. That gives the enemy the access he needs. So much of the church, so much of the church is insensitive to the times we're living. Today, right now, so much of the church is insensitive to the signs of the times which we are living right now and the changes that are taking place. So they're not giving themselves to prayer. Revelation 13:3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. You see, one of the 10 members in power and authority is wounded. There's going to be 10 individual ruling authority, 10 nations over the nations of the world. And the head of one of those nations suffers a head wound, and my best guess is an assassination attempt. That's the only thing I can read into it, is that one of the heads of this 10-nation governing body is going to survive an assassination attempt. He recovers. He recovers from what should have been a deadly wound. Everybody knows it should have been a deadly wound. But as a result of his recovery, he receives international attention. Because this makes news across the world. A head wound that should have killed him, and yet he survived. Incidentally, all this is in the Bible. All this I'm saying to you is in the Bible, right here in front of us. So, this is an individual who receives international attention as a result of surviving this should have been a killing wound. And he receives international attention. And as a result of that, he gets allegiance to his leadership. People start pledging allegiance to him. Why? Because of the wound that he survived. So as a result of all that, he is rising to power in the one world order. As a result, he gains ascendancy in the political powers of the world. Because of all this, he gains ascendancy in the political life of the nations of the world. And in process of time, through a process of time, he gains control over the one world order which is on the horizon. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 4. And they worship the dragon. The dragon is Satan. And they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast, And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" They worshiped the one empowered by Satan. The world starts worshiping the one empowered by Satan. Now, you recall that Satan and those who are aligned with him were cast out of heaven. At one time, they were all angels. They were all angels. And they were cast out of heaven. That's revealed in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. We'll go back there for just a moment. So the great dragon, Satan, was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil. There it is. Cast out of heaven. Revelation chapter 12 verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. As best we can tell from Scripture, about a third of the angels in heaven went with him. You see, they were created with free will, just like we are. They were created with free will. And Lucifer kept looking at the power of God and wanted that power, and decided to try to overthrow God, try to take the power. And in doing so, was cast out. But he had about a third of the angels conspire with him. And they were cast out as well. So now, Satan, his angelic host, all of them up against, there was war in heaven. There was war in heaven, and they were cast out of heaven as a result of that war. But Satan retained ability to approach the throne of God. Satan retained access to the throne of God. Job chapter 1 verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God, angels, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, Satan also came among them. To this day, Satan has access to the throne of God. He's the accuser of the brethren. He has access to the throne of God. Now the day will come when he will be totally eventually cast out, cast down, and locked in to hell. But at this point in time, Satan has access to the throne of God. Now, once again, back to Revelation 13:4. They, the people of the earth, worship the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" They speaks to deceived mankind. The word "they" there speaks to deceived mankind. So the question arises, who is able to make war with him? The population of the world is saying, who can make war with him? In effect, they're saying, who is a match for the beast? Once this guy comes to power, who is a match for the beast? Well, you and I both know who is a match. We both know who is a match. Jesus Christ, he's a match. And he has been, he is, he's more than a match. As a matter of fact, he's more than a match, he's a conqueror. He has conquered everything Satan has to offer. When they ask the question, who can succeed in war against him? Christ Jesus has. Christ Jesus did. And that's the one we worship. Christ has. Christ did. And do you realize that Christ successfully defeated every temptation Satan brought to him? Amen. He successfully defeated every single solitary temptation. But you understand your temptation. Why? Because he was tempted at all points like we are. You say, Bob, it's hard for me to grasp the idea that Jesus could have been tempted with lust. The Word of God says he was tempted at all points like we are, and yet without sin. So he understands your temptation. Christ Jesus, in his resurrection power, when he came out of that tomb, in his resurrection power, he had completely, finally, totally, thoroughly defeated Satan.
Amen.
And you got to get up every morning in the world realizing the one that you worship has defeated Satan.
Amen.
And everything Satan has to offer, he has defeated, he continues to do so. And guess what? He will continue. Christ Jesus will continue defeating Satan till the last day, in the last hour. And then he will show himself supremely the ruler reigning over everything. Revelation 13:5, and was given unto him, to Satan, the Antichrist, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. The Antichrist is given power and authority for 3.5 years on earth. He'll be satanically enabled, satanically empowered. He will be in a position of political power. He will be enabled and empowered by Satan. And as such, he will blaspheme the name of Jesus. He will blaspheme God. He will blaspheme Jesus. And he'll be allowed to rule with power and authority. God will permit it. The church will be sifted. The religious organization that is called the church will be sifted. And out of all the religious organizations in the world, there will emerge the true church. Those who have been purchased by the blood of Christ, adopted into the family of God, indwelt by the Spirit of God, members of God's family, believer priest, they will be the survivors. But this Antichrist and Satan is allowed to rule for 42 months, that's 3.5 years, and was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. What is blasphemy? Speaking obscene, offensive things about God or his people or about those born again. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months, 3.5 years. Now let me ask you this. Have you ever stopped to think, if you were a child of God and you were living here during that time and you can't buy and you can't sell and you can't rent, how do you survive? It's going to come. This is one purpose that the church has left here. She gets a chance to prove herself. Do I really believe in God? Do I really trust God? Do I really love God? Or am I just blowing smoke? That day's going to come. Revelation 13:6. And he, Antichrist, opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. What is blasphemy? He's cursing God. He's cursing God and he's cursing God's people. Blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. He leaves no stone unturned in cursing God and God's people. He is cursing God. The tabernacle is the people of God. He's cursing those already in heaven. You cannot fathom this kind of hatred, this kind of anger, this kind of opposition to God. Absolute hatred of everything that God is, God stands for, everything God has ever done, everything God is doing. Hates him, absolutely. Cursing and reproaching God. Cursing the people of God on earth, cursing the people of God in heaven. Who in his heaven's name, who among us can comprehend the hatred that Satan has for God? We can't fathom that kind of hatred. None of us can comprehend the hatred that Satan has for God. The hatred Satan has for God's people. We can't comprehend it. You are hated in hell. You've heard me say over the years, it's good to be hated in hell.
Amen.
Well, you are, if you're a child of God, you are hated in hell. Satan has a hatred for God and for God's people. So as a believer, you are hated with an inexplicable hatred. And you wonder why you put up with what you put up. You wonder why physically, emotionally, spiritually, you come under attack you do. He wants to destroy your confidence, destroy your faith. He wants to hinder your affection, your identification. He will do anything that you will allow him to do to you and through you to in any way hinder you and restrict you in your service to and your growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every morning of the world, get up. You know, it's warfare, folks.
Amen.
Every day of the world you get up, you're at war. You better hit your knees. Submit yourself. Surrender yourself. Put on the whole armor of God. Then go out to meet this sin-cursed world. He has a hatred for you, a hatred toward you that words can't express. There are no words to express the hatred. You are hated in hell as a believer priest. And that hatred is going to be directed at you and to you. And your only defense is Christ Jesus. It's the only defense you need, though. Your only defense is Christ Jesus and the arm of God. That's why you put on the whole arm of God every day of the world. Every day of the world, you put on the whole armor of God because you're going into battle. Revelation 13:7. And it was given unto him, permission. Permission was given unto him to make war with the, who? Saints. Permission was given to Satan through the Antichrist to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Absolute total control and power over all the nations of the world and everybody in that nation, be they child of God or child of the devil. He's given power. He's given authority. He was given permission to make war with the church. Antichrist is given permission to make war with the church, to overpower them, to overcome them. He's given that power. Not only the church, but the rest of humanity. Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth, all, watch this carefully, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Those who are truly born again, whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life, will not submit and surrender to Satan.
Amen.
Do what you will. Starve me. Whatever you will, I will not worship Satan. That's what he's telling us here. Those who have been born again, all of mankind, hear me, all of mankind in every nation in the world will worship him except the church. Except the church. Revelation 13:9. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. He's just saying to you, pay attention to what you're hearing.
Amen.
Pay attention to what you're reading. Revelation 13:10. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Now, that truth is further developed in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. In Galatians 6, 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will reap. Revelation 13:11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. Here you have a satanically developed and empowered system of religion. What you got there? You've got a system of religion that is developed and empowered by Satan. And he's the leader of the false system of religion. He has that individual who is the leader of that false system of religion. One that offers an altered system. You see, this false system of religion will offer an alternate system to how sinful man can be made right with holy God. He offers another method, another means other than being born again. Any system of religion that teaches that sinful man can be reconciled to holy God through self-effort is a lie out of hell.
Amen.
Any system of religion that teaches that sinful man can be reconciled to God even through identification with another system of religion, it's a lie out of hell.
Yes, sir.
Folks, we're covered with them every day. We got them around us all the time. You have to understand that. Your identification with a system of religion will not make you right with God.
No, sir.
It has to be your identification with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As you die to self, submit and surrender to the Lordship, the total Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. The total Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. This is deep. Because we've got the system of religion right now. You see, one who teaches that adherence to its doctrine and its practice, it will make them right with God. Folks, you're living with people every day that have been deceived into this. Any system of religion that teaches that if you obey us, believe us, trust us, embrace us, that will make you right with God. No, you must be born again. You have to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Those systems of religion will not make you right with God. And any teaching that teaches you that you can be made right with God by adhering to their system of religion is a lie out of hell. Do you realize this message, when it's on the air, is going to be crossing denominational lines and religious lines? But it's truth.
Yes.
This is truth. What did Jesus say? Jesus said you must be born again. Nicodemus was religious. Nicodemus was up to his eyebrows in religious activity, but he knew something was wrong. And he came to Jesus by night, probably trying to avoid being seen going to Jesus. And he had some questions. And Jesus cut through all the stuff and said, you must be born again. It's not your identification with the system of religion. It's not your identification with the system of baptism. It is 101 with Jesus Christ. You must be born again. You must become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old man has to be put to death. Your trust in Christ Jesus. Have to become a new creation. Joining a religious organization won't get it done. Being baptized into a religious organization won't get it done. That does not make one right with God. All of that religious activity does not make you right with God. You must be born again. I trust that everybody who belongs to this expression of the body of Christ is born again. But this message will be out on the airwaves. And it will be addressing people who hold offices in church who are not born again. It will be addressing men standing in pulpits who are not born again. It will be addressing religious leadership who are not born again. Their one heartbeat from hell. Nicodemus was a religious man. Up to religion in his eyebrows, respected in his religious organization, the Pharisees, but he was one heartbeat from hell. And the world is full of that today.
Amen.
Revelation 13:12. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. This false prophet, this false system of religion, if you will, encouraging people to worship the beast. This is the one world church and its system of religion, and it is yet future. It's coming, folks. It's right here in the Word of God. It's the one world church and the system of religion that the one world church puts its stamp of approval on. How many systems of religion today? How many different systems of religion today will merge into that one end time, one world religious system? Revelation 13:13. He, the Antichrist, and the speaker of Antichrist, performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He is satanically empowered. He is satanically empowered to perform signs and wonders. He can do it. Satanic empowered, and God lets him do it. You understand something here? In Revelation 13:14, he deceives those who dwell on earth by those signs which he was granted to do, in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He uses signs and wonders to deceive the inhabitants of the earth. How much of the church today looks for signs and wonders? Signs and wonders. He uses them. Revelation 13:15. And he had power to give life unto the image. Did you get that? He had power to give life to a statue. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. You can research expositor after expositor after expositor. I take it as it reads. I take it as it reads. He had the power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Can you imagine a stone statue speaking? Revelation 13:16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. Now we got the mark of the beast. Now you've got the mark of the beast. And the moment that you accept the mark of the beast, you just consigned your soul to hell. The moment that one receives the mark of the beast in order to buy, to sell, to survive, they just consign themselves to an eternity in hell.
Amen.
Let me inject a thought that occurred to me while I was working on this message. End times. When I look at what's going on in the world today, and I look at what's being related to illegal immigration in this nation and the nations of the world. Now, slow down. I'm about to get prophetic on you. You are watching in your lifetime the incremental steps leading to identification with Satan through the mark of the beast. You're watching in the nations of the world, in this nation, as I look at the steps being taken, and I'm not opposed to illegal immigration being confronted. I'm not opposed to that. But I'm looking at some of the incremental steps in that respect, knowing that at some time, those incremental steps will come over into the body of Christ. We've got to identify you. Are you with us or for us? Are you with us or are you against us? Are you a part of us or are you not a part of us? And you just watch. I'm going to make a prophetic statement here. You watch in coming months and years. You watch in the nations of the world for a national identification procedure to show that you're either realistically a part of this nation or you're not. Hide and watch. I foresee the time when approaches will be made towards the church under the government of Antichrist. The approach is going to be made. And the Christians on earth at that time are going to have to make a decision. And I think that's one reason that Satan has tried to confuse the things so much so that they will not understand the signs of the times which they're living. Jesus said, you can look at the sky in the morning, and you can look at the sky in the evening, and you can tell what the weather's going to be, but you cannot understand the signs of the times which you are living. And that's true worldwide. Revelation 13:17. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. You see, without the mark of the beast, you can't conduct business of any kind. Without the mark of the beast, you cannot conduct business of any kind. You can't buy anything, you can't sell anything, you can't rent anything. I didn't write it, I'm just teaching it. It's the Word of God. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. It's the number of a man, and his number is 666. I've done a lot of research over the years on that. I haven't found anybody yet that can explain 666. I haven't found them. I've researched scholars. I cannot find anybody that can explain the 666, so I'm not going to try either. Enough for me, God understands it.
Amen.
Satan understands it. Now this message this morning, I didn't want to teach this. I didn't want to teach this to you. I want to go to my radio studio back there and tear the radio congregation all to pieces. Teach this to the radio congregation. Let them deal with it. because you folks are pretty well grounded in the Word. But you've got a world of people, folks. You are surrounded every day in the world with people who are so satanically deceived or uninformed, and they don't understand the signs of the times, and they don't understand that the signs of the times are coming together even now in our lifetime, and the only way to slow down the signs of the times or stop the signs of the times is repentance and prayer.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I'm not going to go any further. So far as I know, I've developed what you told me to develop. So far as I know, I've preached what you told me to preach. I didn't want to. You know that. I know that. I tried to do it by radio. You stopped me. So now, Father, I've done it. I've agreed. I've obeyed, Lord. I've taught it. I leave it with you to stir the hearts of your people to an understanding of the signs of the times which we live and give themselves to intercessory prayer on behalf of this nation and the nations of the world. This I pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.